Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Racing HQ for this Wednesday, the 29th day of July, and there's so much happening off the track. We know today the Sydney Premiership will be decided. Hugh Bowman has 7 rides, leads on 94. James McDonald, 4 rides, sits on 91.5. And Blake Shin lost a ride this morning with Fell Swoop coming out. He's only got 3 rides, and he sits on 90.5. So Blake has to win every race that he rides in today, and Hugh Bowman none. So it's a big ask. Bowman, the short price favourite to win the premiership. Off the track, so much today. The whip rules, so much discussion happening out at Canterbury today. Jockeys getting together with trainers. We'll talk to Paul Innes about that from the New South Wales Jockeys Association. Down in Melbourne, the show's calls notices ahead of 5 trainers. They begin shortly. Pat Bartley from Fairfax Media will join us. And also a retirement of a horse that earned $3 million. We'll talk about that horse in the next little while. Let's get going with today's racing, though, and out of Canterbury for the final Sydney meeting of the season. Greg Carmody, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, a lot of prestige on the George Moore Medal right on the line today for Hugh Bowman and the others. What sort of track are you going to get?
Yeah, look, Andrew, we're going to start off on a heavy 8. I walked it yesterday, and I thought, oh, we'll have no drama with going to a soft 7 this morning. But the panel I done yesterday afternoon read higher this morning. And so, look, I've just left it. First race is a 1900, and we'll just see what they make of it. There was a bit of wear and tear in the straight, but the 2-metre shift has got us overall at around the turn. So I'm quite happy where the rail is.
Okay, so it goes from the true out to 2 metres on the backup, obviously, as you say, from Saturday. So heavy 8. But it sounds like, you know, just dependent on how it plays these first couple of races, see whether we get an upgrade.
Yeah, I think so, Andrew. Look, it was very overcast and the track was very wet this morning, and it's all cleared now. So we've got brilliant blue sky and the sun's out. So, you know, I think as the day goes on, it may improve a little bit.
All right, we'll start heavy 8 with a Penno 5.72, and we'll see how the day plays out. Good on you, Greg.
No worries, Andrew.
Greg Carmody out there at Canterbury. These are the scratchings. The first race is clear. Race 2, 4 Republican, 5 Austrian, 7 Lushan, 13 Self-Esteem, and 15 Hembrook. 4, 5, 7, 13, and 15. Race 3, number 12, More Caviar, and 16 Agronius, 12 and 16. Race 4, number 1, Fell Swoop, 5 Kokomo, 15 Something Secret, and 16 General Thompson, 1, 5, 15, and 16. Race 5, 1 Agamore, 5 Gold Force, 6 Smart Moochie, 7 L'Académie de Joie, and 11 Centro Superior, 1, 5, 6, 8, and 11. Race 6 at Canterbury, 9 Storm Siren, 14 Jitterbug, 15 Queen of Sheba, and 16 Mad About You, 9, 14, 15, and 16, and race 7, 9 Slidini, and 10 Scene of the Crime, 9 and 10. A jockey change we needed. Race 4, number 17, is Sam Clipperton, S. Clipperton, and race 4, number 18, is Kieran McAvoy, if you haven't got that. That's Canterbury. We start on a heavy 8. We'll wait and see how it gets played out through the day. Cranbourne in Victoria is the feature program. Fine and a soft 7. The rail is true and a penetrometer 5.95. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, number 2, Cash Dispenser and 10 Love Spur, 2 and 10. The third, number 3, Star Fortune, number 3. The fourth, 2, Express Mosa, 9 Hunka Munka and 16 Sockley, 2, 9 and 16. Cranbourne, race 5, number 8, Pomonella, number 8. Race 6 clear, race 7, number 2, Godspeel, and 4, Charcoal, 2 and 4. And race 8, number 7, Pouvoir, number 7. Now, take note, there is a late scratching in race 2. Race 2, number 5, Saving Winston, out on Vets. Race 2, number 5, a late one. Now, there is another Victorian meeting today at Wodonga, held over from Sunday. Wodonga is fine and a heavy 9, the penetrometer 6.01. Race 1, take out 1, 10, 15 and 16. 1, 10, 15 and 16. Race 2, 4, 6, 9, 10, 15 and 16. 4, 6, 9, 10, 15 and 16. Race 3, take out 4 and 7. 4 and 7. The fourth, number 5. Wodonga Race 5, take out 1, 6, 7 and 9. 1, 6, 7 and 9. Race 6, 11 and 13 are out. 11 and 13. Race 7, 3, 5, 9, 10 and 16. 3, 5, 9, 10 and 16. And race 8, 2, 4, 10 and 16. 2, 4, 10 and 16. Wodonga, it's fine at least. The tracker heavy 9 and the rail true for that extra program today. And finally, the Sunshine Coast race in Queensland. Fine morning, soft 5, a penetrometer of 5.88. The first is clear, race 2, number 4, Shellac, number 4. The third clear, race 4, number 4, Havana Cigar, 13, Provocateur. And the emergencies, 19, 20 and 21. 4, 13, 19, 20 and 21. Race 5, clear, race 6, number 1, 3 beers, please, number 1. Race 7 clear, and the last at the Sunshine Coast, take out 8 Gentleman Jack, 10 Omission, and 12 No Magic Needed. 8, 10, and 12. That's the information for the Sunshine Coast. All our previews, of course, we've got Canterbury at 9.30, and then all the rest from 10.30 this morning. It's 14 after 9. This is your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Let's have a chat now with Paul Innes on Racing HQ from the New South Wales Jockeys Association. Morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Andrew.
Late yesterday afternoon, the announcement from Racing Australia in regard to the change of the whip rules from December 1. Already there's been a response from jockeys, particularly here in this state.
Well, I think actually, yes, that's correct, Andrew. In fact, we've had significant response from jockeys right across the country as a result of the issuing of that media release yesterday. And I have to say that on behalf of our members in the association and the industry as a whole, we're disappointed that media release was issued yesterday following representations made by the Australian Jockeys Association, both in writing and a formal presentation to the board last week, that media release has been issued when we were understood that nothing would be done in regards to any possible changes to the rules until further discussions were held with us and other industry representatives. So it's very disappointing, particularly that it's some months before the rule is going to come into force, that media release had to be issued yesterday.
Since 2009, jockeys have been allowed to use the whip in a forehand action 5 times with no restriction on backhand use. December 1, it comes in at this stage that they'll be only able to use the whip in either manner 5 times before the 100-metre mark. Obviously, your representation from Mark Newnham and Des O'Keefe last week went to hallowed ears that they didn't hear really what the jockeys thought of what could be the future.
Well, I think that's largely right, Andrew. We felt that that the presentation and what was said and discussed, that it was understood that our point was that the rules exist in regards to apply, as far as enforcement is concerned, if riders aren't complying with those rules. One of the points that we made was that there was inconsistent approach by stewards across the country, and that was largely causing, the inconsistent, the inconsistent approach by the stewards. And not in this state, though. I think in New South Wales, it's fair to say the rules were enforced very strictly from the beginning of 2009, July 2009.
Yep.
But that wasn't necessarily the case right across the country, we believe, and therefore we've had this inconsistency, and it only needed to have, a proper enforcement of the rules since 2009, and I don't believe we would be where we are now.
Okay, so as it stands right now, this ruling from Racing Australia says we're under these new rules from December 1. I understand today out at Canterbury, your jockey group at some stage will come together and, I guess, discuss how they play this out?
Well, they will want to discuss with us, obviously, the decision and the contents of the media release. I note that the chairman, Mr. Massara, mentioned in the at the end of the media release that there would be there was a consistent and uniform manner across Australia, and that's the point we've made and made to Racing Australia, that the consistent and uniform approach really falls into the hands of the stewards, and the stewards have not been enforcing those rules in a uniform way across this country, and I think that's why we are where we are now. We will speak to the riders, and I'm sure that the riding groups right across the country will also have discussions with their respective state associations, and we'll get the views and the opinions of our members. But we've had certainly a lot of calls overnight in each of the states by our members.
And Racing Australia, in that same release yesterday, said that they will introduce stiffer penalties for whip offences, with an emphasis on suspensions rather than what we've seen with fines. I know there's occasions when jockeys have got suspensions because, you know, it might be their third, fourth occasion that they've been in front of stewards. But how did the Jockeys Association see whip offences and now suspensions?
Well, suspensions is and the whip penalties increasing. Well, I come back to the point, Andrew, that if this rule that was brought into place in 2009 had been enforced correctly and consistently across the country, we would not be getting to that sort of language and necessity to have that sort of rule enforced now. We have advised racing, you know, in our discussions with racing industry and Racing Australia, we said that we want to work with the industry. It's not a matter of we're at loggerheads with them. We want to be vigilant along with the industry to ensure that riders are complying with the rules. We've seen that we've consistently had those discussions with our members through newsletters and discussions about the need for riders to comply with the rules. And if there are riders who are breaching those rules, then they should be, those rules should be enforced. But I think, you know, the need for further changes and further rule changes doesn't do anything for the industry as a whole, not just our members, but, you know, there'll be trainers and breeders and owners and punters, everybody wanting to know what's going on, and there'll be, you know, a lack of understanding by why Racing Australia had to make changes at this stage.
And from your listening to you there, you obviously felt that you would get further news on this before a release came out yesterday relevant to a December 1 announcement. We'll wait and see how the jockeys... Am I right saying that?
Yes, we understood that would be the case. And the question, I suppose, is obvious question to ask is, if this rule is going to come into force in December, why was there a need to issue that media release yesterday?
You felt that it's come too quick. They needed to consult more.
Well, for what purpose was it? I just think that it was premature in before they had further discussions with us and other industry groups.
We'll wait and see how it unfolds today and then tomorrow as well. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thanks, Andrew.
Paul Innes there from the Jockeys Association. We'll follow that story in the next 24 hours. Pat Bartley is from Fairfax Media down in Melbourne with The Age, with the show cause hearings about to begin at Racing Victoria headquarters. Morning to you, Pat.
Morning, Rich. How are you going?
Yeah, very well. How do you see this playing out? How much evidence do you feel relevant to the Cobalt cases will be coming out today?
Well, I think there'll be quite a bit of evidence coming out, Andrew, but of course it's not a basis of being brought on Cobalt as such. It's, I think, more have you breached the reputation of racing by your actions, and I think that's where they're going to dwell on it. Are you fit and proper to remain with a licence?
Do you feel that the evidence from, and you've been following this obviously, do you feel the evidence from Dr. Tom Brennan and the change of it last week has brought this today?
Oh, no doubt. It's changed the game plan completely, and I think it'll be a hard one for the trainers to press not to remain stood down.
Do you feel that the stewards in making these show cause today, because of the change of evidence, was the right decision?
Personally, I do.
Yeah.
But again, I've got a preface, Andrew, that we're not privy to probably a lot more evidence to come.
Yeah.
And these show course notices aren't based on the cobalt infraction. They're based on the $6,000 allegedly changing hands and $1,000 a bottle for vitamin.
Yeah.
That bottle, you wouldn't be able to get it in your studio.
No, no, exactly. So Lee and Shannon Hope, Mark Kavanagh, Danny O'Brien and Peter Moody have to really, well, they've obviously submitted paperwork, but they've got legal people that will be there today arguing their case.
That will be. And there'll be no cross-examinations as such. The stewards aren't show cause. They're just going to say, you tell us why you should not have a license in that way. And that's the whole basis of it. Now, of course, there are a lot of cobalt. Well, there are some cobalt cases throughout Australia where stand-down notices were immediately put in place.
Yeah.
So it's not new. There's 30 trainers now that have had infractions to cobalt. So, look, it's going to be a national effort to stamp this out.
Do you feel, Pass, that it will come out today from the legal people representing the trainers that maybe cobalt isn't performance enhancing?
Well, that's not the argument there, Andrew. I read this morning in the paper that it doesn't affect performance. Well, that's not the problem. The problem is you're told it's an illegal substance. Don't give it.
Yeah.
And they've given it, and the party is over. I mean, we don't know the real the amphetamines and ice and whatever, but you can't take it and drive a car. You don't have to prove test in that way.
Listening to you, Pat, it sounds like you may expect these five to be stood down today.
I think so, and I think they'll then head to the RAD board before a judge. And then I'd say if that's upheld, they'd go to the VCAT. So I think, Andrew, would have said it's a long way to play.
Yeah.
Long way to play.
Yeah. And these are only the show cause notices. They've got nothing to do with
it. No science or chemistry today.
Yeah. No, it's really just a fact of whether they've put racing into disrepute. It's a massive day. Pat, we'll keep an eye on Fairfax Media right through the day. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Good on you, mate. Bye.
Pat Bartley there from The Age in Melbourne. Paul Bashara joins us from Adelaide. Morning to you, Paul. And we learned yesterday that Happy Trails is going to gallop between races on Saturday.
Yes, good morning, Andrew. Yeah, between races 6 and 7. He's going to have a gallop with one of Leon McDonald's horses, Go Indigo.
And how's he looking, mate?
Yeah, he's looking good. Everything's going good. He's just not really wrapped in the wet weather, but neither am I.
No, I don't think we all are, really. We want some warm stuff when we get in the middle of winter, don't we? He's rising 8 on Saturday. He doesn't know that, but is he the same Happy Trails to you?
Yeah, everything's good. He loves his stable life. He's working well. He's keen enough to be here. So, he's going good.
And the Spring Stakes, which is normally in the last couple of years been the kickoff on Saturday week, you're keeping the same picture there?
Yeah, he'll go into that. Put him in that. And then that'll be his springboard. Then we'll go over to Mimsy's and Underwood, Turnbull, Cox Plate, everything going well.
Touching wood there. It sounds like, it's the races. He just needs to get race fit. And, I mean, the Spring Stakes is 1,200, Paul. We wouldn't expect him to winning that, but you'd like him to see sort of hitting the line.
Yeah, well, you would. That's a miracle. I don't think he could win it, but you'd want him hitting the line. But the thing is, with all the wet weather we've had here, even his track work, not really crash up. Simon Price has been driving him in track work. He'll just come in and say, stop. He just won't put in, not on the grass.
So really it comes down next week too. If there's some wet weather around, is there a chance he may not run? Well, you've got to get him going.
You'd have to just keep going even then because, he needs to try and get fit.
Yep. Yeah, no, I understand. Well, it sounds like you've mapped it out. He's come to hand on just perfectly, and it's off to the Spring Stakes Saturday week. Maybe we'll watch for that gallop on Saturday with Go Indigo because and I know Alpine Eagles, another one for Tony McAvoy, that will gallop there at Morfordville on Saturday, so there'll be a great deal of interest in that. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Thank you, Andrew.
Paul Bashara, the trainer of Happy Trails, who turns 8 on Saturday, but he's a horse that doesn't know that. Very shortly, Jason McLaughlin is going to join us, but just a couple of snippets. Spoke with Michael Hawks this morning about Ra Geese, the rising three-year-old. He still hasn't cracked it for that maiden win, but he's come back in terrific fashion. He trialled really well recently. He's going to resume on Saturday week in the Rosebud at Randwick over the 1,200 metres. And Chris Waller told me this morning, again, another rising three-year-old. The Colt press statement is going to resume probably 2 or 3 weeks before the Golden Rose, and he will trial in Sydney on Tuesday. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's press statement. Just having an issue getting through to Jason. We might try Mark Hunter before we take a break. And, of course, the Canterbury preview is not far away. Of course, we've got that Jockeys Premiership. Hugh Bowman has 7 rides today, sitting on 94. James McDonald has 4 rides at 91.5. And Blake Shin has 3 rides. He lost one of them today, 3 rides, and sits on 90.5. So that's the picture there for the Sydney Jockeys Premiership, as I say. We'll talk more about that in our preview. Mark Hunter's online. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Andrew.
Let's start with Cranbourne. That's the feature program there. What are your good things?
The good things, race 3, number 1, and race 6, number 1. Race 3, number 1, Hunting Hill. Look, this is a horse, you go back last campaign, it's got a good run in a race where horses like Eldas and that were in at Moonee Valley. It was unlucky there. It's come back from a spell. It's had the 3 runs. First up was Basic. Second up, Given No Hope, ran okay. And ran well last start. It's ready to win. It's got gate 1. It can park leaders back on a track where, with the rail back true, should be hard to make ground. Handles the soft. Just looks the perfect race and should be too strong at the 1,200 metres.
Righto, that's race 3, number 1, and then race 6, number 1.
Old mate, the Daunch, over 3,000 metres, so sit down and get comfortable. He was a good winner 2 starts ago. The Daunch, he just kept coming and coming, got up on the line. Last start, he just found the class too much, the hard track no good for him. On the line, he was still going okay. He drops back to his perfect grade. He'll just take block midfield. He'll pick them off one by one. There's a long tail in this race of horses that can't win, and I reckon the Daunch will be too strong.
All right, so the good things, race 3, number 1, and race 6, number 1. Let's have a look at the quaddy, Mark. Race 5 at 2.56.
I'll go 1, 3, 7, 10, Andrew. Number 1, Docking's a bit hard to follow, as you can see by the numbers in its form, 0, 0, 0, 1. But last start, just came out and absolutely blew them away. It'll go forward. It'll get a nice run up near the front again. It's only got to repeat that run to win, to beat number 3, Collins Street, who'll duck and dive from the back, needs its run time perfectly. 7, Flame and Mogul. Back to this sort of grade, drawn awkwardly but got a chance. And 10, Sarawak, who had an absolute gut buster 2 runs ago. Didn't recover in time for that last run. It's had some time off now and might improve. 1, 3, 7 and 10.
All right, the Daunch in race 6 is your top fancy?
Yep, 1, 5, 2 I'm taking. The numbers are 1, 5, 2 and 6. Number 1, the Daunch to win. 5, Bay and Over was a good win 2 starts ago, 2,600. Must have had a setback before that last run, but this race is perfect here. 3,000 metres, soft track, it'll improve. And 2, Richie's Bickies, who wasn't given much hope for the stable at its first run. 1, 5, 2, next best, number 6.
Righto, what about race 7 over the mile?
A tough race, nothing would surprise me. I'll go 3, 5, 8 and 1. Number 3, My Son Harry, has had a couple of runs for Darren Weir. Last start, got a long way back, had to pick its way through, had a little bit of trouble getting through, wanted to lay in. I think if you see some market support here, I'd be joining in strongly to beat number 5, Global Assault, who's racing well, will go forward, sit up on the pace. 8, Korean. It's going to be buried inside this horse, but it's going well. It's running on nicely in its races. And 1, Statue of Warriors, who gets a nice run from the draw and has got the claim. 3, 5, 8 and 1.
And what about the last at 10 minutes to 5?
No idea here, Andrew. This is a 1,000-metre race. Whatever has luck in running will win. I'll go 9, 8, 4 and 5. Number 9, Birds of Tokyo. If it can find its best form, it'll win easily. It's got form around Written Dash last campaign. It's had 2 runs back from a spell. They've been awful. Look, maybe it's a wet tracker and it will improve here, or maybe it just has not come back. Today will tell. To beat number 8, Astro Miss. Racing well, this horse, but it has to try and cross them from the outside gate, and that's not easy. 4, Flying Magnus. It comes out of a race that's produced good form. It's got a hope. And 5, Bulls and Bears, who's turned out to be Not much good, but it's in the lead company here. 9, 8, 4 and 5 in a very even and ordinary race.
Righto, tough one the last go, a bit wide there. So that's Cranbourne. Wodonga's the other one, mate. Have you got a couple there for us?
Yep, or the best one? Bit of the day here. Andrew, race 5, number 5, Our Boy Leo in the Jack Maher Classic. It's had two runs. It ran on well without any luck first up at Cranbourne and then should have walked in at Sale. It just got into an awful spot, got hopelessly held up, finally got clear and made good ground of the line. Not much depth in this race. I think the only danger is number 2, but looking for Our Boy Leo to settle handy behind Prussian Vixen and be too strong at the 1,200 metres.
Righto. So the $25,000 Jack Maher Classic, race 5, number 5, the good thing at Wodonga. Good on you, Mark, and good luck today.
Thanks, Andrew.
Mark Hunter with his Victorian thoughts. We were hoping to chat with Jason McLaughlin. We might do that later on Tab Talk, but what I can tell you is that feeling ready. The 8-year-old has been officially retired. Of course, he won the Magic Millions as a 2-year-old. There was a long break to the next one, but they've now decided after his run on the weekend that enough is enough. He's earned them $3.77 million, and we'll talk to Jason McLaughlin, as I say, a little while later in the morning, hopefully on Tab Talk. A break and then our Canterbury preview.